traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
And you were smoking him, dude. Oh, you told him to shut up. You said, yeah, this is my show. Thank you.
Yeah, I think I said it funnier than that. But yeah, I definitely said something. Yeah.
Y'all watching Squid Game?
I'm not. I heard about it. It's one of those things. You got to watch.
Supposedly the best performing show in the history of Netflix. Is that...
Wow.
Is that the deal? It's
in another language, yeah?
Yeah, it's
my buddy told me that it's the greatest show he's ever seen in his life.
Really?
He said it's the greatest show you ever... He said, do not watch it in English. It'll be cheesy. Yeah, you have to watch it in their language with subtitles. And he goes, it is the greatest show to ever exist.
So it's out of South Korea, yeah?
I don't know. I've never watched it.
I assume it's not out of North Korea.
They don't even know that there's television.
Guys, welcome back to Impulsive, the number one podcast in the world. If you guys are watching this from North Korea, how? Hit that subscribe button.
How they say welcome.
No. How are you watching this program? Dude, surely YouTube is not allowed.
Dude, what?
There has to be one person out there.
So South Korea, the situation in North Korea, we got to get into at some point because that shit is fucking weird.
You want to get into North Korea?
Not right now. Well, that might be cool, but
just quickly, 30 seconds.
South Korea, though, is producing high quality fucking content now, right? Like, what was the movie that came out and swept the, what was that, like 2 years ago?
Parasite.
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 Great movie. You watch it in a car, too.
Dude, it's not just film. They got music, art and media. Yeah. And they got, dude, K-pop band, BTS, fam. Great arts coming out of Korea.
Yeah.
Why? How?
I'd like to go visit.
Yeah,
sometime.
I think so.
They got a lot of soul there.
Nice, way to go. Yeah, you suck. Guys, we have a guest today. He's a guest. I've been wanting to get him on the podcast for a while. I'm not sure where he is. He's not in my eye line. There he is. Come on in. Guys, ladies and gentlemen, it's Adam Ray. He's a writer known for The Heat, Red 2, and Spy 2015. I'm reading your IMDb, bro.
Yeah, dude, perfect.
Can I read your...
Can I read yours right after this.
Can I read your Instagram? Ready?
Oh, please.
And tell me which one of these are true.
Oh, God. I should have fucking made it funnier. Already pressure. Yep. What's up, fellas? I know Caleb. Who's this guy? Nice. What's up, man? You call everybody brother? Yeah. I've just started doing that recently. That's why I'm asking. And one of my black friends recently was like, he's like, oh, brother, huh? And I was like, no, it's just my thing now. Like, I'm saying it. Like, it has nothing to do with...
Can I tell you something?
Race. Yeah. When you started... No. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah. Can we just play a laugh? You have a laugh track?
I just found
you
this.
You play a laugh track?
We're in Howie Mandel's studio. He's got all kinds of weird shit. He's telling on funny jokes.
Oh, so many gadgets. Yeah.
Adam.
I can't believe this fucking shit. Holy shit.
Bro, no joke. I was doing a show in St. Louis probably 8 years ago. Right? It was like maybe my second year headlining. And there's some guy I thought was playing like a cricket sound effect.
He brought his crickets.
After a bit. There was... crickets in the crowd. And I was like, dude, these are the heckles you hear about. But these were real life crickets.
Right. He brought crickets?
Yeah.
You're lying.
No.
What a scumbag.
No, hold on. I love that. It's genius.
Totally. Yeah.
It's genius.
But it was like a guy who like had, you know, like hit a hole. I talked to him after the show. We ended up smoking this like, not a gravity bong. Yeah, meth. That's what it was. Thank you so much. George always comes in hot with the fucking
drug talk.
My mom's going to watch this. And that's how I find out you were doing meth from that bearded fuck.
Your mom sounds like Robin, Mike's mom.
My mom.
Jewish mom?
No, but we give her that voice.
Because she found out that he was doing meth because
of his podcast.
Have you done
meth, Mike?
Yeah, it was one of the drugs I didn't use, but many others. And by the way, I didn't bring the drugs up again.
Yeah,
this keeps happening.
Yeah, that's fine. We'll circle back to this.
Book. Sorry, go ahead.
I like the sound effect, though. What's Logan's joke he's going to do?
No joke. I was just going to say, I too, Adam.
Yeah.
This is just me being truthful.
Please.
I say, hey, brother, how how. Every time I say it, I'm like, "Yo, is
are they thinking
is
that I'm
African American community? Am I allowed to?"
Yeah,
but it's just my it's my verbiage, it's my speech,
totally
my diction.
Yeah, it's a part of who you are. It's have you always been saying it?
A while, dude.
Yeah, a while.
We're all brothers and sisters,
dude. That's a T-shirt, dude. Fuck it. Somebody write that down. What was your name again, Jeff?
That's brother.
What, Kevin? Yeah, I'm sorry.
That's brother. You know, that's brother Kevin.
Not very memorable.
What's that?
Yeah,
very memorable.
Yeah, no, you're very memorable. You are. No, you're killing it. Wait, but the brother thing, like when I first, the first like all black room I did was hosting for Sinbad, right? This is probably, classic, again, like 10 years ago. Guy, by the way, rips, like 2+ hours of crowd work material. You know, he's got stuff about kids from his kids, and then he's got marriage stuff, and then him and his wife split and got back together. So he's got, you know, material from every stage of life. But you know, it was my first time with an all black audience, and Dion Cole, I remember telling me, he's like, "Don't black it up." And I was like, "What do you mean?" He's like, "You're going to find yourself as a white dude in an all black room feeling this like inclination to kind of be like, what's up, motherfuckers?" You know? And I did it. I get up there, I'm like, "Don't do it, don't do it." And then I just see them all and they all go nuts. And they're like, "Keep it going for Adam Ray." And I get up there, I go, "Make some motherfucking noise in the house." And everyone's like, "All right, this guy, there's no way that's how he talks for real." You know?
Dude, yeah. What's your ethnicity?
I think Russian Jew,
so
pretty
you're,
much.
You're,
I just kind of carry
you're,
that.
You're a white guy. You're a white guy. And I know that because I saw you perform last night, and it, apparently it was news to you that a Crip is different than Crips.
Yes. Bro, that was this, fucking hilarious.
Oh, yeah. My white rapper brother-in-law, Dirte, shout out to Dirte.
I can't believe that.
YouTube is shit. It's actually not bad, but he was in the Bloods and Crips, or he's got friends that he kept in touch with from the Bloods and Crips, which, yeah, you know, that's again what happens when your family expands. You're just like, oh, now I've got an in, you know, like now.
Have you exercised it at all? Have you like tried to like go to Compton and rep a set or any of that shit?
For
or?
Sure. Yeah. And it's, you know, goes as you
as
think.
Expect.
Yeah. They're just like, where's Kevin? I'm like, sorry, fucking, I didn't know I had a +1. Right? Fucking, and right when I
you bullied him
give
out of
him
the
a
room.
Shout out, he leaves. God damn it, Kevin. We got to work on your timing, man. You just talked yourself out of a Bloods and Crips picnic. All right. What were you playing this time?
It's applause.
Nice.
But you're hilarious.
Dude.
You're so funny.
It's an honor to be here, man.
It's an honor to have you on. I came to your show months ago.
Back at Supernova.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, when you were performing, I was like, that guy's fucking funny.
Thanks,
you know,
man.
Like George said last night, like great voice, by the way, man.
Oh, thanks, man.
Dude, really that voice.
Tequila and weed, baby.
That's
you know?
For how many
probably
years.
A little lack of sleep.
Track right now, but his voice still sounds
yeah, yeah. Probably maybe my dad leaving had something to do with it, but
sure.
We'll talk about that towards the end of
like
the pod.
Screaming in a dark into a plastic bag for days at a time.
For sure. Oh, man, yeah,
made you a little
for
course.
Sure. Definitely probably did that at some point. But yeah, that show was great. That was, and that was right, maybe 2 months before the fight, right?
Before the fight, and was it? I think that was the first show like after COVID, like when the world just opened
up. Oh, totally.
Up, right? Wasn't that like that's why it was a big deal. I remember going out. I was like, "This is."
It
wild.
Was a big deal because that show, you know, shout out to my boy Mark Saratella for getting that going, and the Houston brothers for putting it on. But they, you know, found a space. It was like made comics feel safe. You know, the outdoor thing because the cars. I don't know if George, you got to do any of these shows with cars like set up, but it's just like
the driving ones.
Yeah, man.
Nope, never.
You're not missing out. It was like so
they just
degrading.
Out of there, you're like, oh.
Yeah, dude. They gave people like clappers. It was great that they tried to get something going.
I'm sorry, a drive-in comedy show?
Yeah, there were some acts like Bert Kreischer crushed that. He and his act is conducive to people pulling up in cars, sitting on the back of trucks. But this was like at the Magic Castle is where it was. So
okay.
People pulled in, and you know they were. You could they had the comedy on a radio frequency in their car, but like
the timing is off.
Timing's off. You couldn't hear. You need that give and take, as Neil Brennan was saying that night. He was like, "This is great to get to flex the muscle." He's like, "But you got to have that back and forth that you get with a live audience." So when we had that outdoor show, that was money, man. And I remember seeing you in the crowd, and I was like, "Oh, this is cool." And I was like, "I hope I get to say what up," just because I wanted to get inside your head, like. Again, like two
literally?
Months prior. What's that?
Like literally?
Yeah, dude. Like I was hoping George had some of that meth, that fucking
yeah.
That LP meth that gets you right inside
you
the brain.
Got me there.
And you could just follow.
You don't want to be there, bro.
Yeah.
It's chaotic.
What is it like? What is it like? When you wake up, what's going on in your
imagine
brain?
Imagine a tornado on fire with livestock being spun around by whirlwind.
Wow, dude. Do you have a graphics guy? That should be the
so
opening to this podcast.
I know,
yeah, you've been thinking
I,
about that.
Right, because I know that's what it is. It's an on-fire tornado with livestock.
Makes sense, dude.
Does it?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're a go-go-go dude, but in some interviews I've seen, you have a chill button.
Depends on what part of my life I'm at, you know?
For
but,
sure.
But that part of my life, I was in chill mode, came to see a good show,
yeah.
Got linked up, and then, yes, ironic that I saw you last night.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, you want to do free tomorrow?
Awesome.
Come on the podcast.
Big time.
Because Georgie, as you know, our audience knows, is kind of doing the stand-up thing.
It's hilarious, man. He's grinding. That, man. Grinding, yeah, man. Yeah, yeah, you got all the pieces, you know?
He's okay.
Yeah. I haven't seen it. I'm just kidding. I'm gonna go fuck myself.
No,
I'll see you guys later.
Great to see you, man.
Yeah, see
who was that guy?
No. Hey, Kevin, let's get out of here, bro.
I think he's the best. But
nice, dude.
But I'm biased.
Do you have the feedback, by the way? Did you notice
I
it?
Do have the okay. feedback.
Can we just make sure it's not on the...
Yeah, there's some feedback coming through the headphones here. It's Howie Studio.
I've been looking for a moment to ask
it's
you.
It's a big deal.
So look, I'm gonna out you, bro.
Please.
You're 39 years old.
Yeah.
But have you always been this good at comedy? Like, has it taken you forever? Because, again, I sort of even asked because you're sitting next to George. I want him to hear.
Yeah, yeah. Got the protege right here, man.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, because when I saw you, you're seasoned, dude. You know exactly what you're doing.
Thanks.
You know when you're going to laugh, or when you're going to get someone to laugh, do crowd work.
I think there was some good crowd work that night, too, which is, like, definitely a part of my, I'd say probably really the last 5 years. You know, it's an active part of the show, whether it's I'm doing a 15-minute set or, you know, I was just in Fort Lauderdale and like there was some crazy shit that goes down. Sometimes I have bits that I kind of use to set up some sort of an exchange where it's like I talk about my dream, you know, as a kid was being in the NBA. So that's a good line to use to be like, and what do you do right now? So I'm working air conditioning, you know. Oh, and that wasn't the dream, was it? And then sometimes they say, yeah. And then I'm like, oh, all right. And then that goes down the whole thing. You know, you were a fucking 5-year-old kid being like, somebody should really fix the temperature in here. I think I'll do that someday, hopefully get paid for it, you know? And so this guy, so then that guy would be like, no, my dream was XYZ. And then we use that to kind of go and get info. And usually it's, you know, an athlete or one guy, this pothead one night, I think it was in Arizona, wanted to be an astronaut, but he straight up was just like, it was too fucking high, man. I was like, and you were already high enough, right? And he was like, pretty much, man. I was like, I couldn't get higher than I was, man.
Oh, you know what it was that night?
What's that?
There was a fucking drunk person that was having way too much fun interacting with you, and you were smoking him, dude. You told him to shut up. You said, yeah, this is my show. Thank you.
Yeah, I think I said it funnier than that. But yeah, I definitely said something. Yeah. No, dude,
yesterday
I love
you. Yesterday you had
I
a girl
you.
Explain a circumcision.
Dude, I love you. Oh, yeah, last night, yeah. Well, I mean, I appreciate you, man. It's a skill set that, like, I have done poorly so many times. Because when you're trying to do crowd work, like in podcasting, which you guys have clearly, you know, got under control, it's a fucking listening game, man. So it's like, you know, I would be thinking of say something funny when I would start talking, and I wouldn't be listening. So then when they would say something back, I was just, like, trying to think of, like, quick snaps. And then they say something, and I don't have the info. So then I'm just like, yeah, so that's probably why you got your shirt at the fucking fat fuck store. And they're like, but I'm a lady. And you're like, all right, chill. You know,
I was telling you about my mom's untimely death.
I was talking about my mom's untimely like, death, and you made fun of my fucking shirt. Now it doesn't
body
fit.
Body shame me.
Yeah, is this guy listening? So then it was, you know, just trusting that you can have a little silence and, like, build the moment is truly a big part of it. And then, you know, just reps of, you know, thinking something, saying it, and not being funny. And then you just get more and more comfy with trusting that you're going to deliver some, you know, some stuff in the timely manner, right?
Mm. But have you always been doing stand-up? Like, I guess, like, why? Honest question.
Yeah,
like, why am I hearing about you now?
Dude, I mean, I don't know, man. It's I've been grinding, I'd say, for, you know, I came out here for acting school at USC, graduated in 2005. Hit the ground running with, you know, YouTube videos. YouTube had just popped, so I was doing a lot of sketches, right? SNL was always kind of the dream, so I was like, I'll do stand-up because I feel like a lot of those guys have that background. You know, I was acting is what I came here to do, so once I wasn't doing plays, I was like, I want to still be on the stage because I love that live fix that you get from it. But, you know, an improv did a bunch of that, but then it was trying to organize too many people to get, like, rehearsals and things going. I was like, stand-up is just you, so that's way more easier as far as, like, being accountable goes for. You know, acting's been good the last couple years. You know, it's just a grind, man. There's truly, you know, you have to really get a good grasp on enjoying the process of getting better. And it's like early on, and George, you'll find this out, man. It's like you get a little bit of good vibes and good heat, and you kind of trick yourself into thinking you're further along than you are and expecting more out of yourself, right? And you're like, why don't I fucking, you know, like I got a good 20 minutes now. I can't get a late night spot at the Tonight Show. And it's... it's truly one of those numbers games careers, and the cream does rise to the top. But I think if you can, you know, adjust your mindset, at least, and that's what I try to do, to like every year I don't, you know, get a special or something like that. It's another year to get better, to keep, you know, just stacking the chips on everything that you're trying to do. But honestly, man, I don't try to make excuses. It's like, I have buddies back home in Seattle. There's like, there's just too many white guys. Is that what it is? Too many white guys on Netflix, and they can only take like Bill Burr. You have hair. That's probably why. You have hair. They only take bald guys in their 50s. And I'm like, that has nothing to do with it. But I appreciate the support.
We interrupt this program to bring you a word from our sponsors. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot going on in the world, whether it's stuff you're excited about or stuff you'd rather not think about. Can't always control the vibes out there, but you can always control the vibes in your head with a pair of Raycon wireless earbuds in your ear. Whether you use them to pump up, wind down, work, or work out, Raycons are my go-to for the on-the-go audio, and the new everyday earbuds look, feel, and sound better than ever with an improved rubber oil and look and feel and optimized gel tips for the perfect in-ear fit. These are impressive before you even start listening. You get three new sound profiles to make sure everything you're listening to sounds its best with just the right amount of bass. And there's also an all-new awareness mode for when you need to listen to your surroundings instead. Raycons offer 8 hours of playtime and a 32-hour battery life. There's also a built-in mic, and you can take calls on your earbuds at the press of a button. They start at half the price of other premium audio brands, but they sound just as good, and Raycons come with a 45-day happiness guarantee. Right now, Impulsive listeners can get 15% off their Raycon order at buyraycon.com/Logan. That is buyraycon.com/Logan to save 15%.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Back to the program.
But yeah, I don't know. You control what you can control, man, is what I just try to do. And then, you know, not be a piece of shit and be funny and deliver. And then hopefully, you know, I just taped a... what I hope will be my special.
I was going to ask. Surely something.
So finally, I just was like, you know what? I'm going to, again, like, take matters into my own hands. And I feel like I got, you know, a good grasp on, like, who I am on stage and, like, my material I like right now that I kind of want to get rid of. And, you know, some pre, some post-COVID stuff. And then, you know, wanting to capture some good crowd work moments to have in a full show. And so I taped about 5 shows up in San Francisco at the Punchline, which is one of my favorite clubs. Real intimate. People... definitely argue. I had an old manager that did that was like, you know, have your special be in a theater. If you're introducing yourself to everyone, you want it to be grandiose and have them aesthetically be like, this guy's the shit. It's in a fucking theater. And I'm like, you know, I kind of disagree. It's, you got to, whatever fits you. And the intimacy of like Supernova, as you saw me, or even The Factory with crowd work, it's a higher success rate, I feel like. And I feel more comfy to do it than in a theater, which I have done. But it's like you can't see as far back. You're yelling into the darkness, right?
The sound is different.
The sound's different, totally.
Right. No one told me this. I opened up for Joe Coy, and they didn't fucking let me know this. Yeah. And so I hit a joke that usually crushes to open it up.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was all like, ha, ha. And I was like, oh, my God.
Oh, dude, I'm sorry, man.
That's okay.
We should have had that laugh machine for you. Yeah. There it is. Mikey, right on cue.
My favorite question to ask.
I put it down because
I just realized you're not wearing shoes. I fucking love that about you.
Every podcast.
Real quick tangent. Do you also do that on the airplane?
All the time. If you wear shoes on the airplane, you're a fucking weirdo. You're a weirdo. If you wear jeans or shoes on the air, you see some of these old
guys.
Another
great t-shirt. You talking t-shirts, Mike. Somebody should tell you that.
Get it out the door. But I mean, there's a lot. You see some of these old guys still rocking those 1950s traditional scenarios. They're like,
traditional scenarios.
If I'm going on the plane, I'm wearing a suit. And you know the real old guys, they hobble in with the full suit on? A
lot of hobble.
Shorts?
Yeah.
And I'll sometimes, like, I hate to say it, but I'll, the place I draw the line is the people with the bare feet. If you don't have socks on, then leave your fucking shoes.
1,000%.
That's
socks,
disgusting.
Yeah, even if your socks, how about this? Dirty socks or no socks?
Dirty.
Yeah.
Dirty socks.
Because at least that's capturing some of the smell.
Yeah, I don't want to see your toes.
How dirty? What's dirty, right? Like,
good question.
Actually dirty or like you wore them for one day?
Yep.
That is.
And by
good
the way,
question.
This I'm asking you because truthfully, you know, I find myself wearing the same shorts for 10, 12, years. You know, 60 days in a row.
1,000%. Right. That's what makes dudes great, dude. Yeah. Yeah. We're like, yo, these shorts are my ride or dies. Yeah. They were with me from the initial purchase. Yeah. They've been through some rough times, a couple pickup games, right? Did you have a favorite pair of, like, I don't know, anything lead up to the fight?
Everything. Dude, I had a favorite hat. I had a favorite hat that said Yeti on it.
Nice.
I got fucked up and survived everything. I'm telling you, this has been all around the world.
Wow.
Spain. We went to Ibiza, Ohio, Dubai, and flown off my hat like on like a dirt road. We go get it, gets run over by a truck, like a shotgun to a hole through or whatever.
Oh man.
Was in Ohio and I saw this fan. He was so nice, such a sweet kid. He goes, "Can I have your hat?" I'm like, "Fuck."
"Sure, brother."
You just gave it to him.
No.
Get the fuck away from me, kid. Where's your parent?
I needed him to know if I was gonna give him this hat. It's like a piece of me.
I so thought this story was going to end on like the sweetest note ever. Be like, no, that's the first time I stiff-armed a kid. Yeah. In public, you know. Usually I do it private behind closed doors, but this time I wanted people to see.
It just wouldn't have been the first time.
You know, that's what I'm saying. I totally respect that.
No, I'm sorry. I gave him the hat.
You did?
I gave him a speech, though, beforehand.
Oh, sorry. I cut you off. What was the speech?
No, it's fine. I was like, hey, kid, this hat's seen everything. It's seen it all. This is a piece of me. I'm going to give it to you because I like your energy. But I need you to know how significant this hat is to me. And then I place it on the little kid. And I don't have it. And I don't regret it, but like I think about it every day.
48 hours later, eBay. Straight to eBay. No, dude.
Bought it back from the kid.
Social influencer Jake Paul's hat that I took from him.
So turns out the kid was a dwarf, sold it for 60 grand. 60. I bought it from him. Yeah.
Sold for $35.
$35. No, we're kidding.
No, we're not. I bought it.
Dude, that's so funny.
And now he's wearing it.
That's so funny.
Who bought it?
No, I never went on eBay.
Completely.
I'm sorry.
Are you gullible too?
He's so gullible. Are you really?
Oh, dude, somebody told me. Maybe a month after my folks split on the playground that they got back together. He was like, I would like go to his house a lot. Like, what a fucked up lie. How old were you? About 10, yeah.
Oh, no.
How about lying about like, hey, I heard like they're bringing Barchetta back at the cafeteria for lunch. Did you guys have Barchetta? It was like a pizza boat type thing.
Yeah. Big time.
So, and ours was called Barchetta. And that's the type of shit you want to maybe throw some fibs.
Sure.
At kids about, but this kid was like, "Yo, are your parents at recess?" By the way, I'm like not even a month removed, so I was like still very raw, and I was just like, "What? What? No way!" Like just immediately on board with it because I'm probably wanted it to happen.
How would he have known that? That's like, did you do your due diligence?
My mom was good friends with his, so I'm sure he heard it in conversation on a phone call or like,
"I'm so sorry, yeah, no, fuck that guy," you know, like,
and then the kid was like, "What was that?" Oh. You know, Adam's mom, you know, is getting divorced and then just comes to recess with that info locked and loaded, just shooting truth darts at me. God. And I was just like,
nasty divorce.
I went home and I was like, "Mom, I don't know what happened, but like, fuck yeah." She was like, "No, he's a piece of shit. Who told you that?" And I was like, "Wait, what? All right, are we still having spaghetti for dinner?" You know?
did you end up like getting the kid back? Like, did you have a moment where you
I'm sure he was definitely one of those like bully kids that like grew into like kind of the bully, was the type of kid that would have emergency clothes a lot because he'd fall in the mud a lot.
Did you ever have emergency clothes?
Got it. Yeah, of course.
Where they'd have like purple sweatpants and like a weird turtleneck if you like fucked up your shit at school.
Or what's worse, what you're talking about?
Yeah,
it's the oversized gym clothes that no one wore.
Oh yeah, dude.
And they're always moist.
What is that?
I don't know.
Why isn't that getting more attention? These moist gym clothes.
Does that still happen in schools? I'd actually like to know that.
Oh yeah,
probably not after COVID.
Bring your own shit now, right?
It's probably like you're gonna stick in mud for a bit,
bro. Yeah. The worst would be like, yo, I'd feel so bad when a girl would accidentally like show her shoulder right at school because she'd wear the straps.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
and like in my school, you know, shoulders weren't allowed.
Oh,
and
they like you weren't actually allowed to have.
You weren't allowed to have shoulders.
Wait. Where did you go to school where you couldn't show a little shoulder?
No, not show them. You couldn't have shoulders.
You couldn't have shoulders.
You weren't if you had any kind of shoulder.
If you did this, detention.
Yeah.
What? No, fucking sitcom shrugs? No fucking, I guess the test is today, Mr. Larson. Yeah.
Detention.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man.
Nah, no, bro.
What did I do? Detention again. What?
You shrugged. God damn it, George. Oh, man.
These pretty girls would be wearing these just extremely baggy, really not so pleasant outfits.
They didn't want to highlight anything, huh?
Well, yeah, the school would be like, here, wear this trash bag instead of the shoulder.
Stop.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
No, I've never trash bags.
It wasn't a trash. I'm comparing the oversized gym outfit, which basically was a trash bag.
I took a picture of 100
wearing a trash bag.
Aren't you guys supposed to be comedians?
Trash bag Tina.
This is jokes, guys.
We're funny. We're not.
Well, see, that's we are. We're yes-anding everything that comes at us, and we're trying to, like, you know, make something out of it.
What's the most annoying, like?
Dude, you're fucking triggering me right now, bro. I'm having bad flashbacks.
What's the most annoying heckler or person you had in the crowd where you're like, I can't believe this is a human?
Bro, I had one this past weekend. Well, the craziest one, I'll tell you. This past weekend, I'm going to be posting a clip on my Instagram next week of this. I had to kick out this guy. It was bonkers. But the worst one I had was I was playing Wolverine at Universal Studios Hollywood, right? That was my day job when I graduated. I was doing the backlot tour on the tram and then playing Wolverine. Because somebody had to step up. George didn't have that beard yet.
I feel like you'd be amazing at that.
Well, dude, it was you wear the suit, you wear the fake abs, the fake fangs, and then your face is showing, and it's like, you know, 23 an hour to go up to kids and be like, hey, you like Spider-Man? And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, yeah, me too. He's my best friend. They're like, no shit. And I'm like, yeah, you want to take a picture? You can fucking jerk off to it later, you know? And that was the voice out.
Very Italian.
Why is Wolverine a mob boss?
Yeah, Wolverine just told me about some hit he put out on, you know, yeah.
Hey, Shing.
You ever regret?
Shing, he says Shing when he takes him out. That's such a funny thing to do. Bazoings. You're like, all right, worst character ever. But so I was at this winery in Paso Robles. You guys ever go up there?
Never, not once.
It's like 3 hours from here. It's like Napa Light, right? It's got its own flavor. So I go up there, and I'm in the upstairs of this brewery, and my buddy lived there, so he was bringing a comedy show back. So it was about 300 people packed in this upstairs brewery. And I was doing all this material about, you know, playing Wolverine and whatnot, and I was about 3 years in. I had maybe like 20 minutes max, and that I felt good about. But, you know, at that stage, I'm just like, I got an hour. Mm. And they're like, oh, cool, 20's fine. You fucking, it's probably not that great. Yeah, cool. And so there's a gal to my left about 20 feet away, and she's just hammered, and she's like spitting stuff out left and right. This can't stand for your bitch. That. And I was like, all right. Somebody get her another drink, you know, like, and take her keys. And then she at one point was like, let me give you a kiss. And I was like, should I let her kiss me? So I walk over. She like licks the side of my face.
Oh, yeah.
I make some crass comment about getting like herpes, gingivitis, and like all everything you could ask for in one lick. And then as I'm walking back to the middle of the stage, I'm like looking down, thinking of my next move. And I just see in the peripheral, my peripheral vision, like her hand go up. And everyone's drinking wine, it's at a winery. And I just see her hand go up like this and then just like that.
Oh,
and before I'm like looking down, but I kind of see it. And it would just happen so quick before I could even like turn or like get out of the way. So it was just like make one choice. So I just went like that. And I swear to God, the base of the wine glass, my palms were just sweaty enough that the base of the wine glass like clipped like two little parts of the webbing of my hand and stuck for about half a second. And I just was like fucking like that and wrap my hand. I swear to God, wrap my hand around it and realize that I just caught the fucking wine glass out of midair. I swear to God. Brett Riley, you can hit him up. He'll confirm this whole story. That's whose gig it was. I wrap around the wine glass and then I slowly turn my head to it. And then there's a silence in the crowd. And then I just went. And everybody goes, holy shit. Everyone's going nuts. Everyone was doing that and fucking going to detention. And so it was crazy. Everyone's going nuts. And now I'm just thinking of like, how do I button this? And so I walk over and I put it on her right in front of her table and I go, I told you I'm Wolverine, bitch. Don't fuck with
me.
Place goes nuts again. Dude. They end up taking her out. Like, I'm like, hey, I mean, it was like Tom Hanks walking into a Panera Bread. Everybody went fucking nuts, you know?
That is so cool.
Smoking me out, drinking afterwards. Like, I ended up smoking in this weird couple's car in the back, like, for an hour after. And they got into this huge fight. And I like, slipped out of the car while they were fighting because I thought they were going to take off. Fell asleep in the shower that night twice and, like, woke up falling out of the shower. And
the night didn't take the turn I expected.
Dude,
He's like 2 days later, I was homeless, smoking meth. With a trash bag covering my shoulders.
Dressed up people like George just eating, to get into nightclubs.
Eating crickets that some guy kept letting out her at. Like, dude, where did this fucking story
go? Dude, I'm telling you, this was 3 years into comedy getting my first taste of, like, you're the man. In Paso Robles. I mean, they were throwing the kitchen sink at me. And they were
right,
dude, that's that was a crazy, unscripted, never going to happen again moment. So I was just like, very gluttonous. I was like, give me all the shots. Give me all the weed.
Yeah. You went crazy.
I threw a Lean Cuisine at the fucking window and broke it.
Hell yeah.
This is the moment you were like, I'm the shit right now.
Yeah, dude. You got to have that. You got to, like, you know, enjoy it. I could have just gone home and been like, no. Wolverine's got to get his beauty rest.
It is. You make a good point. Can I ask, is that one of the coolest things you've ever done?
At that point, I've done some pretty cool shit since. Yeah, thankfully, yeah.
We interrupt this program to bring you a word from our sponsors. It's Blue Chew today. Say it with us. Blue Chew. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew's tablets help men achieve harder, stronger erections to combat all forms of ED, erectile dysfunction. Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor's office. No awkward conversations and no waiting in line at the pharmacy, and it ships right to your door in a discreet package. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. The best part? It's all done online. Blue Chew's licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredients and strength for your prescription. So if you can benefit from the extra confidence when it's time to perform, visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. Here's a special detail.
It says deal, and I'll say it. We got a special deal for you guys. Try Blue Chew free when you use the promo code Logan at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com. Promo code Logan to receive your first month free. Thank you and Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast. Thank you. Thank you.
Reading is hard.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I have these moments sometimes that are like definitely not supposed to happen, but just because of like how physics are.
Of course.
You know?
Yeah.
One of the coolest things I've ever done, and I will stand by this to this day. You ever go to Dave and Buster's?
Love it.
Arcades in general, just
big fan. You'll find Barcades, big fan.
You'll find me there every time.
Love that.
So you know the bar game where that little line goes up and down on that tower,
yes.
And you have to stop it right in the middle.
Yeah,
so hard.
I'm so good at that game.
I'm pretty good too when I'm paying attention. But I was on a date with a girl, right? Why else would I be at an arcade as a grown man?
Great. He was, by the way, he was definitely there by himself. Continue.
I was by myself.
Yeah.
And we were
great date spot though, by the way. No joke. Yeah. Great date spot.
Except I get too sucked up in the games, dude.
You're competitive.
You're lost in the sauce.
So she's like, should I go get us some more quesadillas? No, you're like, let me finish the goddamn game,
Christine. Here, lady.
Do you not see me playing?
She's like, okay.
Line up with the fucking line.
Just hold the fucking tokens.
Just hold the fucking tokens.
Tickets now, which by the way are gone. There's no more tickets, dude.
No way.
They just go right to the card. Can't believe it. You won't see him walking around with the big pilot. You know that kid's balling. Wow, he must be good at the pirate game.
Oh, yeah. That kid has his parents shell out like 15 grand so he can get 90,000 tickets and get a bouncy ball in 6 now and later.
Yeah, but can you get like a platinum card now? So like if you have like the upgraded that card, that means, yo, I've had 150,000 tickets.
I'm
here.
Strictly
just
talking
like in
about
Vegas. Yeah, probably. Yeah.
You could tell how big someone's dick is by how many tickets they were holding. I don't know.
That was my high school yearbook
size.
Quote, by the way.
Yeah. But look, I was.
Okay, so you're at Dave and Buster's.
Yeah,
you're crushing it.
We're playing this game, was doing well, and I turned to her and I didn't even face the machine, and I said like the corniest shit. I was like, this one's for you. And I just went eye contact with the girl. I went boom. I turn, it hit the jackpot right in the middle. And you know, like, bro, I did it with the attempt to be cool, but I wasn't going to do it. And so now I'm like, fuck, do I acknowledge that this was single-handedly the coolest fucking thing I've ever done in my life? Or do I, like, play it off? Like,
you have to play it off.
What do you do?
Yikes. I mean, that is a real... This is a great story and an even better question because...
What do you do?
Yeah, the move is... I mean, you hope... I mean, then you just got to ask yourself, what's the type of girl that you want to be with at that point, yeah. right? The type that like also freaks out and goes, well, I'm usually not into these games, but that was fucking incredible and like celebrates your celebration. Or you freak out and she's like, it's just a fucking game.
It's not a fucking
my
game.
My dad owns a ticket company. Like, I could get you tickets if that's what you want.
What if she was just so impressed by it that she went up one more notch? That's like, she's just like,
holy shit.
Yeah, like,
this is the hottest
like
shit
put
ever.
Her arm out and they just walked into the sunset together, like just off that
well,
one.
Well, that's
thing.
The ideal
looks
situation.
In his eyes, I want a Dave and Bust inside of me tonight.
Yeah,
Dave and
Bust. Yeah. And the owner
By
comes
way,
over. He's like,
behind Mike. I love how there's stickers behind Mike. Like, I've never seen that shit in my life.
Whoa. Set up for the story.
Wow.
That's incredible.
Fucking props.
Admit one, bitch.
Nah, so here, what I did
okay,
was,
so yeah. So then
I looked at it and I said, I turned back and I for the first 5 seconds, I was like, yeah, it's whatever. and then bro,
natural.
And I was bleeding from the inside about how
literally.
Fucking cool it was, and I was like, I have to be honest with you, that was so fucking cool. Like, I admire
so
myself.
So he did both,
dude. It was.
I have to be honest with you. That was the dopest shit I've ever done. Like, that's not really how cool
wow.
I am.
You in the back there with the shoulder showing?
I have the most embarrassing story that's like that. What? Not like that. That reminds me of that, and it happened literally last night. We were at the Laugh Factory, and I invited these comedians to my house. And I did not think that there were certain comedians that were going to show up at my house. And I get a text, like, I'm on my way. And I'm at the red light, bro. And I'm like, what the fuck? So I call my mom.
It's like, Bill Cosby's coming over. I can't believe it. I don't even have his number. Yeah. Okay, keep going.
R. Kelly's performing.
Yeah.
Oh,
dude, a must-see. Right, that's must-see TV
I'm
right
sorry.
There.
I know some people are pissed about
yeah,
that.
Yeah. Pissed off, dude. Look at you.
Wow.
Is that a pun intended?
It's all getting cut. Yeah. Just keep going. Just keep your fucking story going.
The cameras aren't even on, bro.
It's all getting
cut. Keep going, George. What's your story, man?
I'm at the red light. I'm on the phone with my mom and dad, and I'm just like, boom. I'm like super fucking excited.
Yeah.
And I'm telling them, like, I can't believe it. This is so cool. Like, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, fuck, they're calling me right now. So I hang up and I go, what's up, man? Like, just super like, nah, I'm cool.
Yeah.
And he goes, dude, we're at the red light next to you. And I turn around and they're like, man, I was like, ah, and I got so guilty. I was like, I was telling my mom, you're coming over to my house. I was just a little excited.
So adorable, dude.
Wait, were you physically like,
bro, this is me in the car, right? I swear to God.
No way.
That's excitement, dude. That's raw George excitement.
I'm like, hold on. And this is the best part. I'm like, hold on, call me right now. I hit the button and I just go. So, dude.
Oh, so he saw the transition.
Yes. And they're like, dude, right next to you at the red light. And I go, oh my God. And so I just had to confess what I did. And it was
good move.
Super
it's easier to confess, man. It's everyone can, same thing in stand up, man. Like, if something goes, you know, not as planned and it's kind of fucked, like, you comment on it, everyone enjoys that way more. So I'm sure they were, you know, but here's, you know, holding in your excitement, that's like the equivalent, like, I've heard from some gals that are, you know, or I guess even from guys, like, you're holding in a fart, right? And then you finally get to let it out.
Yeah.
Like, so that's probably good. Like the closest thing I can think of.
It's the best feeling ever.
The best.
Especially with a new girl, end of the date, you drop her off. I could go for 30, 40 seconds.
Who's let one out like date one and just been like, this is who I am, take it or leave it?
That's a legend.
I feel like that's a Kevin move.
Oh, Kevin would definitely do that. Dude.
Yeah, for sure.
What are you going to do about it?
Oh, man, is that your voice?
You know that? That Scarface is
well,
so
I've only
man.
Seen nods, but I was like, maybe that is how he sounds. Fuck, yeah. But you're sitting in that booth in a very Scarface manner, so.
Yeah. Also with his legs up farting. As
he's farting.
He's letting him
he's
out
farting right now.
Right now.
That's the fart booth, yeah.
Okay, so you do that, though? Because that's what Mike said. That's some legendary shit.
Do what?
Like, you just be farting
on
the first date.
Oh, no,
first
hell no.
That's
you
insane.
Keep,
that's
no,
insane.
You got to keep the... I mean, dude, I you know, when I have met couples, like, or in shows or whatever, I used to do a bit about that, and, like... There'd be guys that are just like, yeah, man, you gotta let her fucking fly. Like, I trap her face in the pillow when she sleeps.
Dutch
that's a game called
shit.
What
yeah,
I fucking
yeah.
eat. And I'm like, dude, that is no chick is ever turned on by that. Like, and even the gals
well, I mean,
that they say
well,
are like,
obvious. No, obviously. Well,
I don't know. For me, I'm like, I don't know, man. Keep it alive. Keep the romance alive as long as you can. But like, but also, hey, man, I do know gals that like, you know, just laugh it off from their dudes and it's not an issue. So I guess it's just, you know, to each his own.
It's the equivalent of a prank. It's like you're fucking with your buddy.
Yeah, totally.
It's just like, can you handle this? Because I can't.
So a lot of girls that I've farted in front of, like, especially moving into a relationship phase, they'll be like, yo, that was a bitch fart. Like, they'll actually comment on it and be like, yo, that was a bitch. My question has never been, when is it okay for me to fart? My question is, when is it okay for them to fart? Now, that's the big question.
I would love to find out.
It depends on what it is. Right. If it's like the middle of the night, they're going out on the lawn and all the grass dies. Probably do that away from the bedroom always. But if it's like a little cute, you stepped on a button, whatever that was.
What about like the early morning? I've been laying on one side for a while and I'm going to just like... let one rock. I think it always comes down to the smell too. Like if we're talking about,
and if it wakes you up, if it's in the morning and it wakes you up, like that always is daunting. Like if you've ever woken yourself up with a fart on a plane in the middle of the seat. Hi, I'm Adam Ray. Every year, so many people struggle from. No, dude, I've had
flight farts, dude.
Great, they're opening. They're gonna
the shirts, man.
You speak in t-shirts.
Yeah, you really do, man.
You do flight farts. I hate us.
How has COVID been for you? Are you a fan of it, non-fan? Do you believe the government's trying to turn us into gay frogs like Alex Jones? Like, where you at with
great question. Yep. Gay frogs?
Yep.
Is that what his take?
It is his take.
Not a bad take. Yeah. not a great take. kind of, you know what I'm saying? As long as both sides are,
I can see both sides.
Yeah, I can see both sides. Yeah. One a little clearer than the other, but I see them both. I don't know, man. I think most comics and most people thought, you know, a month maybe. So that's a nice... a break, a shutdown, where you truly have you can't go anywhere, can't do anything. So like,
this
enjoy.
Is fun.
Yeah, like, it's just fun almost. Like you're
East Coast guy?
Seattle.
Exact opposite. Okay. So for me, it was like, yo, there's a big snowstorm coming. Mm. Oh, this is fun, dude. We can hunker down, play some board games for a while.
Guess what? Two Girls, One Cup videos. Exactly. Yeah. Just fucking watch everything. Fire. All the Christmas classics is what I'm trying to say.
When I found out the snowstorm wasn't going to stop in June. Or August, and the snowstorm was just going to keep coming.
Yeah, Mountain Dew Code Red panic attack.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was, it sucked. And then it was like, oh, it really sucks. And then look, I think, you know, you think in terms of like your own career and shit as far as like, oh, is stand-up never coming back? And then, you know, you quickly push that to the side with, oh, people, are my folks going to die? You know what I'm saying? Like, so you just try to balance like what's important, prioritizing even at that point, which I think... was a healthy thing to do, and hopefully you did it. It's like I tried to even strengthen some relationships with some family members. Durte, for example, my rapper brother-in-law, being like, I have no reason to not get back to him, or you know what I'm saying? Like, just take advantage of the downtime.
Exact opposite with my family.
Yeah,
it got a little
heated.
Oh Jesus.
Yeah, they're doing all kinds of shit back there. Hey, guys, deal or no deal at this point?
So what do you hear?
Don, Mike, can you hit me with the applause, please?
Oh, so the mics are still rocking
around. Yeah, no, okay. we're crushing
dude,
it.
Dude, my, I'm going to out him, but fuck it, whatever.
Who's this?
I have an uncle.
What's his name? Don't do it.
Yeah.
Just call him Uncle Jimmy for
We'll do it. We'll bleep it out.
I do have an Uncle Jim. It's Jim's brother.
Uncle Jim's brother.
It's Uncle Jeff. Jeff, I love you. You're my uncle. I always love you. You're my family.
Yeah.
But I'm about to check you, bro. This is what we do.
This is what family should do, man.
I don't know if you met him.
Was he the crocodile guy?
Nice. I don't know if anyone wants to be labeled that, by the way.
The guy who looks like he was in the jungle. And he had the glasses. He was funny as fuck.
Okay, that's cooler.
The restaurant.
The one that watched your aunt ride my cock.
Yes. The one who was outside.
No. No. That's my mom's side. I'm talking about Greg's brother.
Big family? First of all, you?
No, not massive.
Yeah.
But, you know.
And is everybody, though, sorry, real quick question.
Sure.
How much of your success pulled the family more together?
Zero.
Okay.
Absolutely zero.
Everyone was already where they were?
No one gives a fuck.
Gotcha.
Except my one Uncle Jeff.
Cool, right?
And I've heard.
Is that how you want it?
No. Because I've heard these stories. I've heard these stories about, like, you know, your family members and old friends coming out of the woodwork to try to get, right? They feel like they're maybe entitled because they're your family, right? Yes. You owe them something. And, you know, it's A, simply not the case. And B, especially because, you know, the role he played in our life was nothing of significance.
Gotcha.
Like, just truly, you know, uncle, family gathering, sure, whatever. But I definitely don't think it entitles you to anything. And for the first time in my life, bro, he crossed a line. Oof. And he asked Jake to buy him a truck, like in full sincerity. He's like, hey, like, and he's always like asking for stuff. And I had to check him. I'm like, you know, maybe calm down a little bit. But it was the first time a family member was like, hey, man, like, you're super rich and famous. I'm your uncle. How about you give me a truck?
Oof, just.
That's such a straightforward question.
It is.
Ask it like that.
That's such a dope.
Can you buy me a truck? Yeah.
I actually respect his. Kinda. That's dope, bro.
At least you're going for it, because beating around the bush is almost whack. More passive and whack, and for sure, like, creates more, you know, awkward moments.
It's the, the juxtaposition of those two things. Like, I know you, buy me a truck. Like, though, that's dope to me.
Yeah, there's a power move in that.
But in, yeah, so, dude, so in real life, dude, that's pathetic.
Yeah.
It's pathetic, I and know. It's sad.
Can he afford a truck, or did he just want a better truck?
He can afford a truck, dude.
He's got like six. He owns a truck lot.
He owns the Chevy dealership.
I'm 46.
Jeff Chevy.
Okay, I'll read it to you. Congrats on your new Ferraris. This was to Jake. He bought two. I told him I was fucking stupid.
Was there a deal, or did you just bought
no
two?
No deal. He bought two. Awesome. May I ask one thing from you, but only because I'm not rich and you make more money while shitting than I do all year? Will you buy me a newer model used truck? Mine died. Thanks, Jake. Wishing you the best, and I want you to thank you again for the tickets to your fight. That was so much fun.
I mean, hey, man.
Should we just get him a truck then?
Shoot your shot.
Shoot your shot. That wasn't that bad.
I thought it was kind of like worse. And but he how asked about, for a used so, car. So that, that
but he asked through text, man. If you're going to ask for a big favor, ooh, it's got to be over the phone. True, I'm old school.
Ooh, see, that's
where I think
Let me hear it in your voice, man. I think he lost us with the insincerity of what he wants. It's not even like a, hey, man, how are you? Like, let's talk. Let's sit down. Let's go grab dinner. I'm your uncle. You're my nephew. Like, it was just like a, hey, man, you're rich. Can you give me a truck because I'm related to you?
You just turned him into a wavy arm inflatable arm.
Hey, man, I'm rich. Can I have a truck?
If that guy did, in all fairness, go into a person, it sounds like it would be your uncle. Yeah. But you have to read the room, man. And those types of conversations got to be in person. And even if you're trying to get a dinner going first, and then you're like, oh, I'll bring it up at the dinner, then fucking don't do that. Because then you're going to think, oh, he just asked us to go to dinner so we could ask for something. It's like, it's got to be at a fucking fun, you know, maybe you're at Dave and Buster's, you're about to fucking, you know, you went back to the same machine, you know, big style, just for nostalgia purposes. And he's like, dude, this is crazy, man. Remember that girl that fucking, what was her name again?
Yeah.
Man, she used to drive a truck, didn't she? Yeah, man, yeah, I would love a truck. And you're like, you know what I'm saying? Nice. Find a way to organically bring it up, you know?
Yeah, he's not like, he's not, he don't care.
Or gamify it even. Like, yo, if you hit this next shot, Uncle Jim, like, I'll buy you a truck. You know, like,
I'll do that all the time.
Gamify.
I do that all the time.
Yeah. Really?
Like, yeah. challenge you, a grappling contest?
I was getting drunk with some strangers at the airport, and I was like, hey, $1,000 each of you, if you can guess why I'm going to Oregon. You get one guess. They didn't get it right.
Guess where in Oregon?
Guess why I'm going to Oregon. They didn't get it right. But I play these games all the time. I gamify everything.
Have you videotaped that? That's a great fucking, like.
It's a good bit.
Nah, I do shit for fun. I just do shit for fun.
I know you do, but that is a great, like.
Me and my friends,
game show prank thing. And airport bars, by the way, is an untapped, like, I'm also an airport bar drinker.
Dude.
Not, you know, within reason, but like, dude, if like, again, it's got to be, I'm sure those people you were drinking with turned it up a notch because you sat down with them, right?
They were not drinking, and then afterwards, they were drinking.
Probably you just know what to it forget is? About the experience of having to deal with your bullshit.
Of losing $1,000 they didn't have. Like, no, fuck this guy. His plane's going down. Our luck sucks. You know what it is? Did you ever watch Insomniac with Dave Attell? That was a show where Dave Attell would go around. It was on Comedy Central when Comedy Central was truly just doing, you know, comedy shows. And he would go around late night all around the country to bars and do man on the street shit, but be funny and just kick it in all these dive bars, bigger bars around the country, and fuck around with fucked up people and drink with them and make jokes and roast them. There's a version of that.
That's awesome. No,
with
I think what you're doing. I think
but also, right. I just not everything has to be taped. Fun. So, you know, fuck me.
I'm on that now, bro. Dude, today I discovered Mike is a. I knew he was old, and now I know he's creepy, dude.
We had Mike?
Yeah, this he's a fucking pervert. Mike?
36.
That's old?
Bro, he walked.
Yo.
Is it?
Compared to me,
yeah, I'm 39. So. We're prehistoric, man.
Yeah, yep, are we? Yep. Yeah, we're
fossils.
We're the same gen, I think.
Yeah.
Though, what are we all millennials?
We are.
I think just on the cusp. It is weird. My 7-year-old nephew, I told him I was turning 39. He was like, "You're gonna die soon." I was like,
"Oh Jesus!"
You're talking yourself out of a birthday present, real quick, you little fucker.
You ain't getting a fucking truck from me.
You ain't getting a birthday, kid. I'm gonna murder you.
Oh dude, he's a little goof, man. He'll like dry hump the couch, which is hilarious.
That's again pervert, not a goof.
Totally, but he'll look at me dead in the eyes with a big goofy smile.
Back to what
he does
I said.
Yeah. So I'm like, dude, like two more seconds and I'm gonna have to sign something, I feel like, you know, but he.
I'm sorry, just reiterating, your nephew will dry hump a couch while making direct eye contact with
you. Yeah, because he thinks it's funny, because he sees how uncomfortable I get and it makes him laugh.
Well, dogs do it.
Does he want to be a comic like you?
I think so. He takes the piss out of himself real hard, yeah. Dogs do it, that's a great point.
Does he do that in school?
What's that?
Does he do that in school?
No, he's clean school. He's a, I mean, he's, you know, he'll hopefully be an athlete. I think I now get why parents put all those eggs in that basket, because, like, you know, he'll also headbutt the fridge. So you're like, all right, this kid is probably not going to, you know, go to Harvard for, you know,
anything.
Yeah. So hopefully it's the professional athlete, but he's a freak of nature on the
headbutting
when it comes to sports.
That's the prereqs these days for the football team at high school. Yeah, it says here he humps the pillow in front of others while making direct eye contact, smashes his fucking dome into the refrigerator.
He runs a 4.2 40. He can come on a futon in under 8 seconds. You're like, all right, I don't know if that's a
well,
stat.
Well, looking at his uncle, well, using solely his uncle as the inspiration.
Doesn't
his
blink.
Spoons. Weird
criteria. Boy, the NFL's changed. Somebody get Goodell on the phone, man. What's happening over there?
Used to not even be able to smoke weed in the NFL. Now they want you to hump a pillow and look at your uncle. Who you won't buy a truck for.
Fuck your 40 dash. How long does it take you to nut on a futon?
Oh, man. That's so funny.
I think this nephew of yours, it sounds like he'd get along well with Mike. I was in my shower today. This is why I called him a pervert. You know, minding my own business. Last thing I expect is to be put on YouTube while I'm in, you know, my shower. And
what'd you put on?
Nothing. I'm in my shower.
Gotcha.
And Mike comes in. He goes, knock, knock. At first, I'm like, who the fuck is here? No one lives in this house anymore. Literally, there's no one here. And I couldn't tell it was Mike. And so I, like, hid behind the wall, you know, covered me junk. And it was Mike. And he just got this, like, weird grin on his face. Almost like, I'm like, there what's going on? And something's going. Sure enough,
no.
David, the German videographer with a rig, comes out. I'm like, get the fuck out of here, bro. I'm showering. And they're pointing at my penis, like, zooming in and stuff.
Dear God.
Like, weird.
We had to use a pretty big zoom, dude. Like,
now, what are you going to use this for? Is the question.
That's my question. Why?
No, we've done. We exploit each other's privacy.
Gotcha,
The amount of time,
but
I've
never
been,
in my house
no,
while
well,
I'm not doing YouTube.
The amount of times I've been naked
in
the shower for your content is.
Bro,
endless.
When we live together, we're roommates, bro. Dude, you,
well, no one lives at that house now. I can't be a roommate with someone you don't live there.
I'm gonna
I'd
be
love to
the
be
middle
a roommate.
Friend here, and I think what Mike did is totally fine.
Thank you.
I guess when you're,
I'm not even gonna use it. Good well, man. Yeah, he told me to replace his body with a.
I want to be
that's funny, with like a centaur.
I want to be a censored block man. Like my whole body is like a block censored.
Why not? Yeah, you got the means to do it. There is probably it goes out the window privacy, right? With what you guys are doing.
No, that's what I'm here to tell you. No, because I've never. Bro, come on.
Well, we've gotten into some huge battles about the privacy thing. We've gotten into some huge battles about it.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Because
people want. You've given them an access, right, into like what you're doing, your life, and all that. And now, it's like you there as a fans, they're probably like, "Well, you don't get to decide now what's too much."
Well, my only rebuttal would be is, Adam, I'm not doing that anymore. I haven't made a YouTube video in fucking months, and I think I put out like 3 this year. Like I don't do I am not doing YouTube besides this. I guess.
Well, yeah, you're not, but I am.
Yeah, but
I
me out of it.
I need
leave
my content.
Your fucking pervert shit out of the
hey man.
Wait,
you don't want your dick to be videotaped. Don't have a dick.
Yeah, that's
Mike.
Where I'm at.
That's where I fucked up.
I said Mike.
Yeah,
that's where I'm at with it. If you don't take showers,
by the way,
like I'm gonna.
Sorry,
he means that, by the way. It's so hard.
I didn't consider that.
I didn't consider. You make a good argument, man.
He gets final review on all my. You know, I'm
well, that's
gonna
good. As long as you're
a block censored man.
That's what he told me.
And by the way, don't fuck it up, dude. Because
really funny.
I'm either gonna say that's it or it's not, and you will. You will abide by what block man I want to be.
My dick, my decisions.
That's right.
My dick. No, but honestly.
That's a t-shirt too, huh?
My dick, my decisions.
You know what I...
Oh, my God. That t-shirt would not work.
Yeah, it wouldn't probably... Spencer's gifts would probably...
Oh, yeah. They might go for
they
it.
Still,
oh, shit. I didn't even think about it in the bad way. Okay, yeah. No. Yeah, that's terrible.
No, but I mean, someone would wear it.
Oh,
sure.
I see. So when you think about it in real life, it actually is not good.
Yes. Yeah.
Ooh,
we have the rule of thumb. It's kind of like it's better to ask for forgiveness than permission.
1,000%.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You know,
once again, that one's applicable to only certain situations.
Context,
yeah. It's
so great example of that. My buddy Brad Williams, who's a little person, we got to play in the NBA Celebrity All-Star Game 2019, right, in Charlotte. And so Brad being a dwarf, we were like, all right, we got to do some sort of, we're doing a podcast. He's has since left. I'm still doing it about last night. Check it out. And so he's like, we should do some sort of stunt with me, obviously, take advantage of fucking having a dwarf in the game. There's never been one. And so I buy online this thing called like a piggyback. And it's basically for dads that are going camping. And there's like a bar in the back. It's like a backpack. And
I know what it
bar.
Is. I bought one for my roommate as well.
1,000%. Kids can stand on the bar and they put their hands on their dad or mom's shoulders and, you know, get a nice little stroll through the woods. And so I take a video of us doing it. I hit up Sue Bird, who was our coach, and I was like, hey, I got this thing. What do you think about us wearing it, like calling a timeout, me walking out with Brad on my shoulders for a defensive stance? She's like, hilarious. And then I was like, I should probably run it by the NBA, which was my first mistake. So I sent them this video. They're like, absolutely not. Hard pass. I'm like, why not? They're like, what if you drop them? I go, it'll be hilarious. And they're like, we don't have dwarf insurance. I'm like, I don't know. That was a real thing. You should for sure get that. Yeah. They didn't say that. But we
why did you just cough in my face?
Was that?
Well, it's because he wanted to avoid the mic. It's a pot.
I just got my fourth shot. But they, yeah, they definitely were like, you can't do that. And everybody after was like, you should have just done it and then been like, sorry.
Well, that's I mean,
indeed,
right?
Indeed, by the way.
Because what would they have done? Indeed. Stopped the whole game? I walk out with him like.
In the context of pushing, yeah, cut. In the context of pushing the boundary a little bit for content, I will most times ask for forgiveness unless there's some sort of ongoing circumstance that needs to not fall apart.
Right.
I want to ask something because, you know, comedians in general, I believe, have a platform to be a bit, little bit more risque than the average artist because, you know, you can always fall back into the guise that it's a joke. But
also, you should know, I think innately, any comedian is saying something for the laugh, right? Not like even people at Chappelle and Burr's level, who to me are the goats, like, you know, they're trying to be funny. They're trying to be, they're going, what sounds the funny? Like, what is the funniest to them and sounds funny? It's like
they have mastered doing it in a way where you're gonna get the laugh.
Totally.
You know what I'm saying? And a lot of comedians, especially, and I you know, go to George's set sometimes, and there'll be comedians who are still practicing, amateurs, if you will, who come before him, and they'll try the dark comedy, and the joke's not funny because the delivery is wrong, and now you just said some real fucked up shit.
Right.
Have you said something where you're like, ooh, I botched that, and now I went too far? Because even you're risque, dude, and if, especially when you're performing in LA, I imagine the reactions to some risque jokes
totally
aren't the same as when you're in Wisconsin.
Totally. I think your intentions got to be there. I think things can get taken out of context. People are, I think, listening for like trigger words in certain instances more than like the actual content, so that can get you in trouble. But like, as long as shit's not getting like really videotaped, I also just know what I'm saying. Usually I feel like I got a pretty good grasp of like what's coming into my head. I guess doing crowd work is where it's up to, there might be more opportunity for something to go off the rails because I'm truly just trying to be in the moment and listen and respond.
But
even in Fort Lauderdale this last weekend, there was this really sweet, sassy black woman, and she was making some comments, and then I was firing back about how what she was saying about like what I was wearing was way cooler than the white guy version of me describing it, and how I wanted the sassy black woman to be like narrating my day, and then we like had this whole back and forth that was really great. And there was a time I remember where I'd be on stage, and if I had that thought, I'd be like, oh, you can't say sassy black woman. You know what I'm saying? Just because of feeling not comfortable enough in knowing my intention or that I was going to make it funny. So I don't really feel that now, but I also am not up there trying to divide the audience actively.
Yeah, I feel you.
Comedy comes from dark places. So it's called a joke for a reason. When you go to open mics, bro, you hear jokes that are like, whoa, bro. Like, I can't believe this dude said that. And then it just comes back to the day and age. Like, bro, when all these comedians have gone through some shit to be this type of way.
And funny trumps everything. It's like, just like you were saying, some people do just get off on the shock value stuff. Mm-hmm. And there's even professional comics that are crushing it that have a piece of that to what they're doing, where they're just like, oh, this is going to elicit a response, you know?
I just think, like, to his point, it comes back to how funny was the joke, right? So like, because I feel like we've talked about this with a comedian on the show before, but what happens is you get a lot of these like amateurs, and then all the way down to like TikTok comments nowadays, where somebody's, you know, make a video about their mom dying, and somebody inevitably in the comments will be like, have something to say that they think is funny.
Right.
Until what they say is just not funny at all. Definitely. And they go back to the old adage, it was just a joke, man. Like, I did it for comedy, but it wasn't funny.
Yeah.
So my advice to people has always been, yo, if you're going to make a dark joke that is shock valued like crazy, that motherfucker better hit. And better hit hard. And every single person that hears that joke better be laughing. Like, it seems like shock comedy is not the place to be testing on the main stage.
Right.
Like, nail that fucking joke.
Yeah.
Make sure that every single person is gonna double over.
Yeah.
Because if you're, especially very timely shit that just happened that people are still coming to terms with and processing, and it has to do with like all that kind of very dark matter. Not dark matter, of course, because we don't know much about that. But,
spin-off podcast.
But yo, if you're in the TikTok comments making unfunny jokes,
talk about
dark matter. Does it matter?
Is it real? Are they trying to make the frogs gay?
Yeah, the frogs gay. Well, that ribbit sounded real effeminate. Ribbit's code for cock. Yeah. So I do think it's also interesting when you have people that aren't comics throwing Hail Marys on first down on in the comment section. Yeah, it's like, why are, no one's coming to you? Like, I was at a wedding, like, I don't know, pre-COVID, a few months before COVID went down. And one of my buddies, mutual friend of the guy getting married, and I've known this guy for a hot minute, was the best man. And he's like, can I run some jokes by you for my best man speech? And I already was just like, I can tell Lee that these are going to be horrendous and offensive, and I'm here for it, dude. What do you got? And he had this joke about like, about our buddy, like his mom, like blowing one of them at a party. And there was just no joke. It was a weird fucked up story being like, and that's when she sucked our cocks. And everyone was like, and I was like, dude, don't tell this joke. He goes, it's funny, right? He goes, you're a comedian though. Come on, you got to help me out. I go, no. I'm telling you as a comic, first of all, yes, do I want to see you go up there and just fucking bomb and, you know, arguably ruin a chunk of the wedding?
Absolutely.
Absolutely, yeah. Dude. As a fan of just great live moments in life, 1,000% I'm here for this. Yeah. But, you know, I love Mike. I think you're, you know, just definitely call an audible on this. And he did some version of it, and he just was like, nah, I think it's funny. And I'm like, Lee, no one's going to you for the fucking, no one's going to be like, dude, Lee's speech wasn't that funny. And he's like, why not? I go, because you're not funny. And he was like, fuck, dude. I was like, you're not funny. You're just, in this moment, no one's going to be expecting you to be coming, going hard in the paint with the jokes. Wait, sincere, you know? So open with a joke. You know, there's just, and again, it's a reading the room situation, but he went for it. And dude, it was like weird. Oh, yeah, a version of it. And I remember sitting there just being like, and I get, it was one of those great, like, he did it, crickets. And then I just go, and he looked at me and he was like, I was like, no, dude, I wasn't laughing because it went great. I was laughing because you fucking rolled the dice.
I have to, be honest.
Big time.
He's like this, fuck.
It was red or black and you put 40 on magenta. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Who's the story intrigues me. So Mike's mom sucked one of your friend's dicks?
I mean, this was a made up story that he
thought it was funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was something about her being like the cool mom, which she definitely is, you know, but I didn't grow up with him. I went to college with my buddy Mike. So, but Lee's story was like in high school, she was the, you know, so it was already just like,
where was this that
Agoura Hills.
And the cool moms out there just suck the kids' dicks?
That's what he... No, she didn't at all.
That sounds cool, though.
But it does sound cool. By the way, we all wish we knew that mom, right? Did you have a mom growing up?
Stacey's mom. Because right. Like...
George, if you can get out of here, that'd be awesome.
I've been to Agoura Hills. They have a chili festival out there. And I thought it was like the people that made the chili were cool. But evidently, like, they got moms just fucking
they
blowing.
They are. Do not skip over that. People who make chili for a living are very cool.
Yeah, you like chili?
It's okay.
Yeah.
You eat cereal?
Love cereal.
What kind? Top three.
Man, I'd say go to when I was truly roughing it. Frosted Flakes. I used to sing in my head instead of "They're great, I'm sad" as I would take a spoonful. Just Tony the Tiger was a fucking hero to me, man.
Leaning into the depression.
I'd like to know what your second favorite cereal is.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Yeah,
Mike,
way
I
to go
think for sure. I think for sure, yeah. I think more often than not, historically, gals have cut my hair.
Really?
Currently, I got a buddy of mine. It's become a good bud that cuts the hair appropriately.
Yeah.
I went to Floyd's once, I'd say 2 years after I graduated. Yeah. And this gal was not in a good mood. And I even said, like, she yanked my head at one point because I, like, kind of let my head dip a little. And she like yanked it and she goes, don't fucking move.
Whoa.
And I was like, oh, yep. Yeah. And I just, I when I got it, I go, whoop. I go, yeah, maybe this is not the day to hold scissors at people's heads, huh? So that is like a joke. And she goes, I'm fine. And I was like, yeah, you're not. So let's, maybe let's reconvene and schedule. So I just, but I felt so awkward and vulnerable to being like, I'd never been in a position where I was like, should I Irish goodbye a haircut?
Yeah.
So I'm
to.
Just like, she'll probably calm down, right? Like, she seems cool. She's got tattoos. We're in Floyd's. They got, you know, they're playing fucking, you know, Mumford and Sons. And so It's always a sign of a good time. And then she just got real aggressive and she did like a couple aggressive like zzz on the side of my head. I walk over. She's like, all right, we're done. She goes, get up. And I was like, I got to be honest. I don't know yet what my hair fully looks like because I'm facing back from the mirror. I go, but this is one of, and I'll say this is the most polite way I can, worst experiences I've had as an adult, not even in a not even a barbershop, just as a being alive. Like, I'm going back to, like, my bar mitzvah when I fucked up a little Hebrew, but, like, this is at the top right now. So, congrats, I guess.
Wow.
And then I go to the front, and I tell the lady, I was like, look, I don't even know. I was like, I probably shouldn't pay for this, but I'm going to, and I'm actually even going to tip her more because I feel like she's having a bad day. Yeah, yeah. But maybe you and I benefit of the doubt, I feel like, is always a home run way to go in most instances, you know, so that you can kind of, like, you know, manage your own heat that's bubbling. And so she's like, she looks at me, I put my hat on at that point, and I was like, but I'm gonna give her a little bit more, but I feel like you should maybe talk to her because she probably shouldn't be holding scissors.
Yeah.
And she just goes, I bet it's fine. And I take my hat off and I go, is it? And her face, I will never unsee it. Seeing the woman who's like the cashier to like close everyone out, she looks at me and just goes, whoop. She said, oh, just made a noise looking at my head. And so I went home that night. This is when MySpace was still clicking. This is probably 2006, a year after I graduated. And I went online and made some stupid video just ranting and riffing about my my poor cut. And it circulated enough to where, like, the head of Floyd's hit me up on MySpace, got that message, that little red notification. And he was like, hey, man, saw your video. So fucked up. Let me know who that was and where it was, and we will take care of that. Also would like to offer you, like, 3 months free haircuts. And I was like, bro, appreciate the sentiment, but you're offering what was the problem in the first place. It's like, you go to a strip club, you know what I'm saying, and you know, you end up getting fucking pink eye, and she calls you up. She's like, I'd love to give you cancer, too. You're like, that's not how this works, Bambi. But so I was like, I respectfully going to say no thanks to the haircuts. And he was like, he kept hounding me. He's like, you got to let me know who it was. I got to, like, get to the bottom of this. I was like, again, I think she just maybe bad cut. I don't want to get her fired. But anyway, who are you guys voting for?
Now I don't feel so weird about my question, by the way.
You ever just go with the story way too long? What was your question, Mike?
Now I don't feel so weird about my question that I asked
you.
Yeah.
Did you expect that answer?
Yes.
Yeah, great. No. Great. Logan, I got a question for you, man. You told me last night that you had a story behind the cast.
Oh, you won't tell it.
Oh, you won't tell it. You told me you'd save it for the pod, but dude, I guess.
Oh, you're a liar. You did say
no,
that.
I guess
oh,
I got
it. But he was fucked up because he's all. That's all he does now. He gets fucked up.
Could you tell, by the way?
No.
You couldn't tell?
Keep it clean, yeah. Right. What's your drink of choice?
Vodka.
Good for you.
Always.
Keep that weight down, right?
Yeah, I don't know what if that's
Vodka's
the,
fun.
It's good. It's clean. It's clean. It gives me the, so like,
tequila, or is that just a little bit too much of an upper?
No, I do not like the taste of tequila, and it gives me hungover. You know, you're 0 for 2, you know?
I was about to see if you wanted to go halvesies on a tequila company I was going to start tonight.
Sure.
Yeah.
Fine.
Called, Jeff's truck. I don't know. Dude, improv
Jeff's,
stuff.
Jeff's truck.
Yeah, Uncle Jeff's truck.
I actually would buy that.
Me too, man.
I actually would buy that.
Wait, I do want to ask you because I hadn't seen you. I saw you before the fight. Yeah. And now, you know, last night I think was the, and I'm sure you guys have talked about it in you know, grave detail, but how much, just straight up, simple answer, how fun was it? Because when you were fucking going at it, dude, it was like, it was almost like I felt like I was a little kid watching, you know, somebody get, like Ken Griffey Jr., you know, for being from Seattle, getting called up to the majors, right? Mm. And just being fucking big smile the whole time. And then that ends up being his thing through his whole career. And you're like, whoa, I feel like I don't see this from guys like this who are truly like, I'm pumped to be here. I'm soaking it up. I'm all business, but I'm like not letting the moment be lost on me.
Yeah.
I caught like, you know, quite a few waves of that. And I thought that was really cool. And I don't know if that was, I feel like that's a part of just who you are, but also how tough is that? There's a lot of questions coming here. How tough is it to maintain that level of like, I guess, this is why I'm here, is to have fun and to, you know, do something special and to, you know, as you said in your post game, like inspire some people.
Sure.
How much of that can you actually apply mid-fight, or is it, once you see Floyd, are you just like, I got to kill?
So, no. Full breakdown. A, I appreciate you observing that. Your intuition is spot on.
So, I got to take this. Mom, I'm so sorry.
Why would anyone do that?
I'm so sorry, dude. I'm so sorry for the joke, man. I'm so sorry. Please keep going. Sorry, dude. I'm sorry, man. I'm a dick. Keep going. I really want to hear the full answer.
No, it's good. I'll keep it short.
Please, no.
It was the best experience of my life. Yeah. It was the most fun I've ever had in my life. And I learned a lot about myself that night. And the most important thing that I learned is that when I lead with fun, I do well. I'm gonna fucking like murder you type of fighter or like just person. My brother is silent, right, bro? When you're fighting me, when you're sparring me, I'm fucking roasting you.
Yeah,
I'm
saw you were like you. Chirping, like yeah, mid fight.
The whole fight, it's how I spar too, and it fucks people up, dude. Like I'm an asshole in the ring with like I'm bullying you physically and verbally.
Yeah,
and
it's a head game too, man. Why not?
It's all a head game.
That
it fucks everyone up and it fucked Floyd up, bro. Because I'm talking it to him.
Dude, at one point, were you doing like fucking? Were you waving to the crowd or were you like doing like a cartoony like
pointing?
Like, it seemed like
I did that for one part too. I did that. Like I did the wind up, bro.
That's what that was,
did,
right?
For one part, yeah.
Oh man, that was very funny.
No, it's just fun, bro. Yeah, it was a good ass time and. You know, got the I can't believe that I fought Floyd Mayweather. That's insane.
You can tell that you, yeah, that was very genuine afterwards about the.
It was good, bro. It was I'm dangerous when I'm just having fun, because I don't care. I'm not tied to winning or losing. I just want to have fun, and when I have fun, I do well.
What would you have done if you guys, has there ever been this moment in boxing where like both guys hit each other at the same time, almost like they're just 69ing and they just fucking, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like fist to fist, there's probably a better term for it, but it's like just fist, you know, like you both go down at the same time.
There have been those moments.
Oh, wow.
If I ever fight Jake, I want that to happen.
That'd be so cool.
I want to knock, I want Jake and I to knock each other out at the exact same time.
The shit talking's probably extra special if you fight your bro, right?
Which is probably why I actually won't do it.
Yeah,
it's all fun and games, but
you just start laughing midway through.
It'd be violent, and we've never sparred, dude. That's a thing. And like he thinks I can beat him, and I think, or he thinks that he can beat me, and I think I can beat him.
Of course, and this is how it gets going, man.
Nah. It's too much.
Watching?
It's too much.
Lifetime. Get in the game, man. Shell out some cash for this fight.
Nah, it's too.
Yeah, it's too much.
I mean, but maybe it's not. I don't fucking know, bro.
Great way to be with it. That's the answer. You know what I'm saying? Like, time will tell. Also, yeah, who knows, man? You just might be in a spot where I feel like it's got to, like anything in life, right? Like the moment's got to show
it's
up.
It's got to manifest itself the correct way. Like, yeah. I don't know. Do you have a girlfriend?
Fiance.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you, bro. Yeah.
Recently, you
we've been dating for about I don't know, 4 or 5 maybe.
Did you lose hope as a younger person? You know, late 20s, early 30s even. Were you like, dude, how am I going to find the one? And did you compromise in a way that
I actually was very set on
Did you
being...
just ask him if he compromised?
Yeah, I did. I did. I want to know.
Yeah, he's going to say that. Well, yeah, I'm, you know what? I just decided
I want to know. I want to, like, bro, fuck? When I'm 38, if I'm like, well, I'm lonely, I guess I could maybe not look for things that I normally would in a person.
For sure. Yeah. Is that your sad, lonely voice?
I'm lonely.
Dude, I feel like, yeah. What is it? Do you cry at movies?
Pixar animated films.
Thank you. Up destroys you, doesn't
dude, come
it?
Come on.
I have a great story
come
about
on.
That.
How did I know that, dude?
Dude.
Wow.
The guy who
Do your fans know that?
I think so. I've said before Pixar films
great.
Fuck me up. But I want to know. I want to know.
What if you fought the grandpa in Up?
Oh.
Like a guy dressed as the grandpa in Up.
Seems like abuse.
I feel like an easy fight.
Seems like abuse. But hey, I want to know. I'm a young lover myself. Single, hopeless.
You know, I did the long distance thing a few times post college, and then and that sucked. And then and then dated around LA for a bit and really just enjoyed that, I guess, that single life of the road and then being back in LA. But I always, it was always just, you know, and it's still been that way, like career just taking up so much that I just didn't put a lot of stake in like trying to, I got very comfortable being like, you know what, I'm just going to be single. And I see my buddies get married and have kids. And I was just like, awesome for you, but I'm so, you know, have tunnel vision for what I want to do, and I don't want to have anything. Not that, you know, a relationship holds you back. You know, I think it you know should add to it, but like I just was never in a space where I wanted to, and because I had been in relationships where I'd worked to a point to where I, you know, could close out a show at the Improv, right? And where I'd be on that list where they'd hit me up and be like, "Yo, we had a fallout. Come close this, you know, packed show out." And you know, I was with a girl that it was at like her friend's birthday party, and she was like, "You're gonna fucking leave?" And I was like, "Yeah, this is a huge fucking deal. Like, I gotta go." And I've also been here for 2 hours. Like, what's another?
Yeah.
Like, I've done my commitment to this. And so having to pick and choose and wanting to just be full in all the time has been like a real challenge for me to find someone that I don't mind taking nights off with. And so now I have.
So you're
still, you know, full on.
And is she understanding of that?
Totally. And loved it. I mean, we met at a comedy club. Her best friend was dating a friend of mine at the time and brought her. And we just very eighth grade kept in touch for a while before she moved here. But she loves it. I mean, she came to the show last night and was geeking out that you were there. Actually, she was geeking out when because she's 26, I'm 39, and she, you know, she saw you at the club and was like, "Fucking Logan Paul's here," and I was like, "You trying to make me fucking nervous, bitch?"
Oh shit,
trying to make me nervous, bitch.
Oh shit.
But yeah, she's all about it. Love comes to every show. Always. She doesn't like give me tags and stuff, but she definitely also isn't like a yes man. She's not like, you know, well, you're a mate. You know what I'm saying?
She's like this joke sucks.
Yeah, or like it's funny, or do that, and the good amount of support. And also, you know, if I pick up a gig or I'm going to do this, it's made me also to be a lot more cognizant of, like, because I am so go, of like, all right, because she's so cool about it, go out of your way to find those times to, you know, have a night to, you know, just be together. And I know you're, you know, it sounds like, oh, you just want one fucking night a year, but it's, we found a good balance, and now she's got a cool job that she's into, so that helps. But it's good to miss people, man. Like, being on the road, even for a weekend, it does suck.
Helps.
Yeah, man, distance,
you know. Makes the heart grow fonder.
There it is.
Got you.
So. Dude,
everyone was saying you weren't going to contribute today, dude, but that you came in hot right there.
Who the fuck said that?
A lot of people outside the building, dude. I think it was my Uber driver mainly, but yeah.
Fuck.
She's 26. She's 26, and you're 39.
Yeah, yeah.
We were talking about this before we started podcasting today.
Right.
I don't think that's weird at all.
No.
But when is it weird? How young can a 39-year-old date before it's like, this is weird?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, she's never...
Not her. I'm saying this is a general question.
So you're saying, so how...
If you were dating a 20-year-old, is that weird? Or a 19-year-old, is that weird? Like, it's legal. Yeah. Or even 18, it's legal, but is that fucking weird, dude?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't interest me.
It's weird, right?
Yeah.
So what is the...
I don't know. I mean, it's almost like with... I think I don't know. You know, my mom used to want me to be with a Jewish girl so bad, and then she just was like, faggot. And now she's just like, have somebody that you're, you know, connecting with and that you want to laugh with and can still see yourself getting old with and all that. And so the religious affiliation didn't matter as much. She's like, as long as you have that connection. I feel like that, you know, carries some value with the age thing. But yeah, I don't know, man, like.
Yeah, you have to be able to have a conversation with the person, right? Like, when you get to that, like, 39 versus 19, I feel like the conversation changes a lot. But
yeah,
this society has, like, gotten to this point where I think it always has been at the point where it's like, oh, there's got to be a cutoff somewhere. Like, a 39-year-old can only date to this age.
Yeah.
And in L.A., and I'm sure in New York and other cities, I've started to notice this phenomenon of it not being like the older guy that's trying to find the younger girl. It's the opposite.
Oh, yeah.
And you find these girls that are 21, 22, and they're already completely sick of 25, 26, 27-year-old fuckboys.
1,000%.
And they want a guy that wants to settle down, or they want a guy that, you know, has life experience, or they want a guy that could teach them something, or they want a guy that's financially capable of all of these different things. And I think that, you know, also as a 36-year-old single person and someone that does date people mostly in their mid-20s, I would say, you know, I run into that issue myself sometimes. And it's weird because you do have these girls that are looking at it from the opposite side, but they don't have a voice in the situation, it seems like, you know?
I 100% agree. I totally get that. I just, why I guess I think it's weird is because where you started off is, it's so hard for me to imagine a 39-year-old having a like multiple prolonged conversations with a 19-year-old. You're not even in the same, you don't know shit when you're 19.
Oh, totally.
You don't know shit.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, I don't care who you are. You're a parcel of who Tommy, you're gonna be. You're Tommy in it. But Tommy knows something. Tommy knows a lot.
I think, not in a gross situation.
He's gonna know a lot more. You know what I'm saying?
You're right. There's a lack of perspective and just life experience. Like you cannot replace, just like in stand-up.
That's what I'm like, what is a substance here?
Yeah.
You know, I see, dude, sometimes it gets gnarly. I'm 50, 60 year old billionaires usually.
Yeah. Oh, dude, I see them in shows.
Early 20s.
Where you're just like, what is happening here, man? Like how, fuck, I don't know, man.
Occasionally I feel like you get these, you know, these, because you are right, and I think that that's the thread that passes through this entire conversation is your substance in life is built off your life experience. It's not about being able to make funny jokes. It's not about, you know, studying a lot in school and being a history buff.
Right.
It's about going through shit. Yeah. That's what builds you. That's what builds every fiber and every part of you. Yes. And so, like, when I ask the question a lot to people, like when I'm talking to somebody that's 18 or 20, I'm like, what you been through? What you been through? You know what I'm saying? Like, what was the, as opposed to,
answer's like, well, my dad's boat last week was, so there's this, like, our neighbors had this, like, Titanic party, and they had, like, they, like, bought actual icebergs, which is, like, why global warming, which, yeah, whatever, is, like, not happening, because, like, they bought the icebergs, and my dad's boat ran into one, which, like, how is he fucking supposed to know that? I'm sorry, do you have any Coke? Like, you know, yeah, but there's, yeah.
Correct.
So you're like, well, there's that version.
Correct. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, it's like how much, because that is also the fiber of building a rapport and relationship. I feel like it's something that people can really connect on.
Yes.
Oh, you've made it through this struggle. I've made it through this struggle.
Yep.
You know, and it creates a conversation. It creates depth and all that stuff. So
totally.
To that point, occasionally you find this 22-year-old or 25-year-old or whatever, depending on what age you are.
1,000%.
That's been fucking through it.
And that's
and they've you know, they dealt with the trauma in this or they dealt with that, and they're able to talk from a place of fucking knowing. And all of a sudden, you found a connection with a 13-year or 14-year 1,000%, age.
Man, you couldn't be.
Do you think it could be dangerous? Because if she's that young and you're like, no, by the way, I'm not talking about you.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just saying in the situation, if like Mike was dating a 24-year-old, a 23-year-old, or whatever, even 21, right?
Yeah, yeah.
What if this is the case-by-case situation where the girl is going to grow and she's not going to be the same woman that she's going to be in 5 years?
Yeah.
And now you added 5 years to your timeline. Yes. So it could be dangerous. Dude, my girl's 6 years younger than me. And that, I didn't even want to date her because of that, because I was like, fuck, dude, she's not even developed yet until I got to know her history and who she was. I was like, oh, this girl's more grown up than me.
Totally, man. Well, that's how it is for me as well. I feel like she's more mature than I am. But like the life experience thing, we kind of meet in the middle, you know? Mm. And it's just like you said, Mike, like she's had enough that we've, you know, found through just, you know, getting to know each other more that is also relatable that I've gone through, like whether it's family stuff or, you know, relationship stuff. And had she not had a handful of relationships prior, I probably wouldn't have been as confident in being like, okay, cool. Then but it's like, you know, all ready for this type of a commitment, but all about it.
Dude,
and also you just find these people, and this is why fucking life is crazy like that, where you go, you know, had no clue that we would be that like just on the same page and that she'd be that like, you know, I think I was a breath of fresh air, you know, versus what she'd been used to and just found in her, whether it was line of work or, you know, the freeway she was, you know, sleeping next to. No, that's sad.
Jesus. Breath of fresh air just immediately became COVID. Just immediately.
I love when women are good at being companions or like a girlfriend or a partner. Like some are like significantly and noticeably better at being you're with you, you know, your counterpart.
Right.
And it's so like identifiable. And for me, like uncommon.
Yeah.
Not uncommon. It's just, it's rare. Right. And that's where the girlfriends come. And that's where you get, hopefully you find your queen.
Yeah.
Because you know, I have to be honest, I'm not a great companion at this point in my life, you know,
yeah. Actually terrible.
Well, you want to do your own thing, right? You want to just be the kind of...
Well, yeah, and that's why. Like, there's no complaints.
At least you're honest about it.
Bro,
fuck yeah, dude.
My objective isn't to be in a relationship right now. I'm doing my thing, you know? But, yeah, it's when you have a girl who's almost been seasoned with...
Right.
With like, when you said it, she's been in relationships before.
Yeah.
She knows the fucking drill. Like,
yeah.
And can teach what I need,
yeah,
about how this works.
Yeah. And she'll make jokes, too. She's like, we got to have, you know, kids not super soon, but she's like... you know, she wants them. I think I, you know, I'm crushing the uncle game with my nieces and nephews. Yeah. And I think it'd be cool. But also right now we're not in a rush, but she'll make jokes being like, I need people to like look after me when you fucking die way before me.
And hilarious.
Yeah,
hilarious.
Yeah. And then also, you know, and then there's like a beat and then she doesn't laugh. And I'm like, okay, she meant that.
Oh, she
yeah,
meant
for
it.
For sure. You can pass the meatloaf. Yeah.
Are you a meatloaf?
Yeah. What's that?
You eat meatloaf?
Yeah.
In LA? Who's cooking that?
Probably mom up in Seattle. Mom's meatloaf. Yeah. Why, do you have a meatloaf spot? You said that like you were opening
like,
a meatloaf restaurant.
I can't remember the last time I've heard anyone talk about actually eating meatloaf.
It's an aggressive move. I think if you order it in public, you're saying
you're
a lot about yourself.
You're weird.
Yeah, you're a weird guy.
Dude, like if you're at a dinner at a nice restaurant, someone says, I'll take the meatloaf.
Fuck? I love meatloaf.
Just getting outed.
Would you order it at a restaurant?
No, I'm not a psychopath.
Yeah, there we go. It's a tall order,
just
man.
Just whisper it. Hi, can I get a... Yeah. These for the appetizer.
Don't make a big deal out of it, but if you could just like leave it at the edge of the table and act like it was like a mistake, and then I'll be like, "Well, it's here. We gotta have some of it." Yeah, that guy.
All right, look,
we gotta wrap this up.
I don't know. I got nothing left unless you got something.
I mean,
is that her?
Yeah,
she's beautiful.
Oh, thanks, Doug.
She looks a lot younger than what you said.
Gotta be honest, George. I don't like the way you fucking looked or said that, dude. But we can edit.
He goes.
Wow, dude. Just perving way. Yeah.
That's your girl, huh?
Didn't know I can leave a phone over on George.
She coming to the Tonight Show. You see your work in the crowd. I'm over here just like,
Yeah, dude.
But dude, thank you for coming
on. This ruled, man. You guys are crushing it, man.
Hell yeah,
Very cool to be a part of it.
Where can we find you on Instagram?
Adam Ray Comedy on Instagram. Adam Ray Comedy on Twitter. Podcast about last night. You can see me on, I'm going back to Australia to shoot season 2 of Young Rock. Which is the Rock show about his life, playing Vince McMahon. So if you got a steroid guy.
Oh, fucking, no way.
Yeah.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, man. So we did season 1 last year and
that's so cool.
So I'm going to be, it was only in a couple of last season because it took you up until he was in college and now it's going to be full wrestling all season. So I'll be jacked for that. That's cool. And then stand up dates at adamraycomedy.com and then probably, you know, helping Jeff buy a truck in the next couple
of
weeks.
Hey, Uncle Jeff, we're going to get you that fucking truck, dude.
Man. Keep
It'll happen,
hope
but
alive.
Not yet.
Just keep believing, man.
Huh? Guys, we love you. Hit that subscribe button. We'll see you next time. Thanks, take it easy. Bye.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.